When we were in Israel, we were truly blessed by some of the things we learned, but when we came home, several weeks later, we had a teacher from Albany, New York, that came and gave us some little pieces to the puzzle. And the puzzle is not always understood, but God is never, never doing anything by accident. And one of the awesome things that she brought forth was that when you look at why Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, it's because that's where all the sheep that were offered as sacrifice to all of the feasts of Israel had to be born. I mean, take a consideration. Why would our Savior be born in a stable, of all places? He was a king. But he had to be born in the fields with the rest of the lambs. Where did lambs give birth? But in caves. Little places of protection. With very little, except for a few shepherds around. And last Thursday night, when we had the Bible study, there was a discussion about what happens and how are we going to recognize him if he does show up. And I'll remind you, the only ones that recognized him the first time around were a few shepherds and some foreign king. A few shepherds and some foreign king. So, Father, today, I'm asking for special grace for the Rufo family. Because on Friday night, I got a telephone call from Rich Rufo up in Pittsfield. He was weeping. And I want to remind you that you're here today, but there's no guarantee for your tomorrow. Laurianne Rufo Daly, born November 30th, 1962. Died September 30th, 2008. God, your days are without end, your mercies beyond counting. Help us always to remember that life is short and the day of our death is known to you alone. May your Holy Spirit lead us to live in holiness and justice all our days. Then after serving you in the fellowship of your church, with strong faith, consoling hope, and perfect love for all, may we joyfully come to your kingdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Laurianne Daly, 45 years old, at 47 Longfellow Avenue, died peacefully in her home on Tuesday, September 30th, 2008, born in Pittsfield, November 30th, 1962, a daughter, etc., educated in the local schools, etc., Community College. Mrs. Daly was last employed at Canyon Ranch as a receptionist in a health fitness department for 2 years. The 8 years prior, she was a foster mother through Healing Homes, where she took in several children for both short and long-term care and made a positive impact on each of them. For 6 years prior to that, she was a preschool teacher at We Care Kitty College at Christian Assembly Church. Ms. Daly was a member of Christian Assembly Church. She especially enjoyed spending time with her family. She enjoyed traveling, visiting Cape Cod and the beach. She will long be remembered for her love of God, family, and friends. Her encouragement and prayers for all and her constant faith and perseverance in life. Besides her mother, I'm not going to go to the details. She leaves a mighty family, etc. So when I learned of this on Friday, I had plans for Saturday, but they had to be canceled. So I went to Pittsfield, spent the day with the Rufo family that I had not seen for quite a few years. Some of them, multiples of years, I should say. And the brevity of life. So awesome, because I remember ministering to her and her daughter, counseling with them. And of course, her daughter was, I would say, 2.5 feet high when I first saw her. Now she's married, lives out in New York State. It was a very strange feeling. You know, the older you get, you start getting a little wiser. And you see the limitations of life. This woman was what you could call a picture of health. Was not sick, had no sickness, zero problems. Had gone to the specialist and her doctors just several days before, less than a week. Was given a full bill of health. You're A1, you're doing fine, you've lost weight. You don't need to take any more medication for sugar because your sugar is absolutely perfect. You are absolutely well. That's a great report, wouldn't you say? Her sister, who lives in the same house, the duplex, I don't know if it's up and down or side by side, I don't remember that. But the bottom line, did not go to her house in the morning. She waited till the afternoon. She hadn't heard any noise downstairs, but questioned God, and the Lord said, no, just go to work. When she came home, she yelled at her husband, who had just been home for a few seconds. Her sister was in bed with her two hands lifted to the Lord. And she was gone. And obviously called her brother and the rest of the family and her mom. And all I can tell you is, are you ready? Are you so busy you can't take time for him? But I can tell you that there were close to 200 people that showed up at her funeral. And they all had one thing in common. She touched my life. She touched my life. She was a busy woman doing what was called of her to do, to touch those that God had ordained for her to touch. I can remember many years ago when her marriage was breaking up. That's how I got involved. Things were difficult for her. She never gave up on God. She never gave up on serving his people. She wasn't focused on herself, because you see, when testimony was given, it was given that this woman of average stature gave of herself consistently to the body of Christ. She cared for the children, whether what age they had, and she cared for the men and women that God sent to her. Doesn't that sound like St. Paul when he's in jail in Rome? And all the people in Rome that are drawn to him, including those who served the emperor or Caesar. Why am I telling you that? Because you see, I'd love to see that lady alive and well, and maybe see her grandchildren someday. And I can see the privilege that God has given me. Because you see, there was a season my marriage was falling apart. And I know that it was God that put it back together. And I'm absolutely convinced that without him, I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead a long time ago. Some of you may remember I shared about how I wanted to die because I didn't want to live in pain anymore. And how I even planned my own suicide. Paid insurance for 2 years to make sure that my family was going to be cared for. You see, what you see up front is not what you see inside of somebody else. What you see is they present it to you. They present you a great picture. I was a great father. They couldn't tell that I was falling apart. My wife couldn't tell because I wouldn't let her know. She had enough to worry about. She had enough to think about. And I made sure that she didn't know it. The only one that knew was the Lord. I had spoken to a couple of people, but you know what? They didn't care. there were more problems in their hearts than they had in mine. So what am I saying to you? Yesterday's funeral can impact a home, a family. Tomorrow's funeral can impact your family. Are they ready? Do they know Jesus? Have you spoken to them about the Lord and his salvation for them? And if you haven't, you better check and see which kingdom you're of. You know, what I was reminded of this morning is, what are we coming to church for? Five things came into my head. I'm going to give them to you. Why do I come to church week after week? What is the purpose? Why? The answer, by the way, is in Acts chapter 5. And it's also in several places where the Lord reminds his people, okay? Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Why? Because you know what it is? We are living in a selfish mode of life. And if tomorrow, which is again what we discussed at the Bible study, if tomorrow the financial world was falling apart and you had nothing left, guess what? You might find time for God. You laugh. There was a man sitting in the steam room with me. And guess what? I've been going to the gym since 1992. I've seen this man multiples of times. He's never talked to me. Guess what happened this week? Oh, he says, did you see what happened to the bank? I said, yes, I heard that there's problems. He said, are you aware? I said, yes, but my stocks are in Christ Jesus and the kingdom of God. He's all bent out of shape because, wow, I just bought a new Buick, $36,000. I said, well, you remember, I said, I used to work for a funeral home in Palmer, Three Rivers. He said, you did? I said, yep, I worked for Belanger Funeral Home. I said, when my son, my youngest son was born, that's where I worked. So I know what it's like, I said, to travel with the hearse. But he says, you know what? There was never a Brinks truck behind any of them. Whether they had big bucks or little bucks or no bucks, they all went to the same place. I says, I hope you're prepared. He says, I'm an undertaker. I says, you are? Wonderful. I says, then all the more reason you need to take stock in the kingdom of God. I had no clue. I shook his tree. He says, I knew the Belangers. I said, that's a good thing. But you know what? They're both gone. Teddy and Beatrice are both gone. But God is still on the throne. Why do I come to church? Why do I need to connect with the body of Christ? Why? Because there's a need for us to mature. Why can't I stay home and listen to you on the internet? Well, that's a good reason, isn't it? You can do that. But I guarantee you, you won't have laying on of hands. You will not have the anointing with oil. You will not have the community gathered together as one. And there was a vision that came. Is it okay to share what I share with you this earlier? About the welding of the metal. When I prayed with one of the young men this morning, what I saw was something that those of you who may comprehend a little bit, when you weld two pieces of metal together, and what I saw was actually copper tubing and a connector. And if you don't clean up the copper from all the dust, if you don't clean both pieces together well and don't fit them together well, when you melt the lead, it will not go in and adhere and make it one. Because you see, I was praying for fire to come on this man. And I saw the fire, but it was actually a torch. And I was reminded that unless you put the oil or the grease, the cleansing grease, on those two couplings and the piece of copper tubing, you will not have a clean product and the melting cannot go in. It won't adhere together. So you need a clean surface in order for the lead to make sure that the two pieces become bonded together. And as I was praying, I said to this young man, look, I see the fire burning. I also see the lead coming, and you are being leaded to the Lord. And you're going to be one with him. You will not be able to be separated. You will be one with him. How are you going to do that on the internet? Now, I'm not saying that you can't listen. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take advantage of what's there. But what I am saying is it's not a substitute to gather yourself together with the saints. Why do I need to have oil on me? Why do I have to have laying hands on me? Check Mark chapter 16, and you'll see that unless you lay hands on each other, the kingdom cannot manifest. And you can't do this at home on the internet. Oh, I'm saying, yes, I've prayed with the people on TV, and I've prayed with the people on the internet. But I guarantee you this, it was not the intention of the Lord that you should be satisfied with less than what God has prepared for you. What else am I saying? One more thing. Why do I come here and give away my money? Isn't that a great excuse? Why should I do that? Because God cannot give you a harvest on nothing that you plant. If you don't plant any potatoes in the spring, you can go in that field at night, in the fall, and you're going to get what? If you have an apple tree and you cut it down, what happens? No apples in the fall. Right? Just a couple of moments on that, because I'm not the type that enjoys preaching about money. I don't like preaching about money, because I hated it for a season. But I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You can actually study both chapters, 8 and 9. But you see, St. Paul was making it very, very clear. So I'm going to start with chapter 9. Let you study 8 on your own. There's a law of giving that is imparted in chapter 9. And it starts at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. For he who supplies seed to the sower, who is the one that supplies you with a paycheck? It's God. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So you understand, it's not just financial, it's spiritual as well. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We sent some money to Pastor Jay, again, to help him with his church. Why? Because they lost everything, and they needed a boost. And God gave us a boost, and from it, we sent more out. Why? Because that's going to be registered to you. This service that you, verse 12, perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So it's a gift to give. It's not a sacrifice. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 5, because that's the other one I believe will confirm this message, because I don't want to take a lot of time on all the excuses that we come up with, and I'm not trying to give you excuses. I'm trying to give you answers. Because, you know, I've come up with all kinds of excuses sometimes. When the Lord wants me to do something, the enemy's right there to what? Block it. He'll try to throw a dart in your mind, and he'll throw you a bad thought. He'll do anything he can to push you off the center. Acts chapter 5. If you read the beginning of it, you'll find that there was an authority on the believers that was awesome. And Ananias and Sapphira both died because they lied to God's people. I can tell you this. I've seen not actual death, but I've seen many people end up in a lot of problems because they got angry with God's people. Verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Why did they go to the temple? Because that was a place of gathering. Okay? No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and mats so that the least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. What was on Peter that's not on you? Why isn't your shadow creating something? Or is it? Do you ever find you walk into a room and everybody's talking and all of a sudden you walk in and they all shut up? Or they'll walk out of the room. Or they'll literally try to escape and you know it. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have felt that? Thank you. It's the same anointing that was on Peter that's on you, except now maturity is required. Peter matured after he failed miserably. What did Jesus tell him? Go and teach your brothers and your sisters. I can truly say, from the experience of that funeral yesterday, that Lori was obedient. From her failures, she was able to change many lives. From her shortcomings, she was able to change dramatically some awesome people. There was one particular young man, I would say he was about 30. He stood next to me at the gravesite. He was a very handsome young man. He had a rose in his hand that was wrapped. And a little, it looked like a, maybe a card or a letter. He didn't say one word. He stood. When the family began to walk away, he approached the casket. He laid the letter down on the casket. And I heard the Lord say in my heart, intercede for him now. So I began to pray in the Spirit because I have no idea what to pray. I have no clue. He put the letter down, or the envelope, laid the rose on top of it, pulled back, stood next to me again. I don't know if he was aware of my prayer. All I know is that the anointing was upon him, and he was weeping in the depths of his being. And my prayer was, Lord, provide the next person in his life as he continues to walk forward. Provide the next person. The one that you choose out of the body of believers to minister to him. And he stood for the longest time without moving. And the tears are rolling out of his eyes and under his cheeks. And he did his best not to make any kind of a scene. And I said to the Lord, is there anything I need to say or do? And the Lord said, no, it's done. My presence is upon him. My presence is upon him. So there are times that you will be ministered to by the Lord directly. But there just might be somebody else praying for you while you're standing here. How many of you have ever been pointed by the Holy Spirit, pray for that one? Put your hand up. Without telling them. Without telling them. But God connects his body of believers together when we obey. Now, is it a law that you got to make? No, absolutely not. It's not a law. I'm not saying that. My brother Bob is not well this morning. So our intercession is to make sure that we pray for him and intercede for him to get him back on his feet. All right? So pray for one another that you may be healed. Verse 16. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were... Why does it say healed? Because the kingdom of God is restoration, deliverance, and healing. And not just in church. Not just in church. In the funeral home as well. Yesterday, Laurie had one daughter, just one little girl. Her name is Brittany. And I was asked to stay with the family for the closing moments of that experience, if you wish. And the Lord pressed me to give her uncle some of the oil. And I said, would you please anoint her, because she was weeping uncontrollably. And as the oil touched her forehead, she turned towards her aunt and literally melted in her arms. And her uncle said, Kim, it's not done. And I said, no, it's not done. And she looked up and she says, I know you. You used to work for Uncle Gino. I said, yes. I know you. I don't know why I know you, but I know you. And then she came for a hug, and we prayed. Why? She remembered connections at the church where God had touched her. She said, there was a lot of other people there, but I remember you. I haven't seen her since she was maybe, I would say, 10 at the most when her grandfather died. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that out of darkness comes light. Out of hopelessness comes life. Negative forces of depression were trying to push this young woman into joining her mom. That's what the enemy does. But the oil of joy came. And by the time that it was time to leave the cemetery area, she was joyfully rejoicing with her family and her aunts and her uncles. Gave me a hug and thanked me for going. And she says, I feel so betrayed. Because the pastor that ministered was very, very on target when he said, she's not really here. She's with the communion of saints. There's a celebration in the heavens. Concentrate on that. One final word. Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark. It's not hard to find. Very closing verses of Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Now, does that include those you work with when the Lord tells you to? Yes. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Short, sweet, to the point. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. There's your Holy Ghost. Amen? They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Put your Bibles down. I want you to stand. I will try to explain one thing before we pray this prayer, because we're going to pray this verse. Picking up snakes on purpose to try to let them bite you to prove that you're healthy and a Christian is not God. It's when accidentally a snake touches you or tries to poison you, nothing will happen to you any more than happened to Paul. The poison will fall off of you. Would you close your eyes? Would you lift your hands to Jesus? Say, Lord God, the Savior Jesus Christ gave me a commission. It's called the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes, is baptized, will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany me, because I'm a believer. In the name of Jesus, I will drive out demons. I will speak in new tongues. I will pick up snakes and with their hands. I will pick up snakes with my hands. But they will not be deadly to me. The poison will not touch me. It will not hurt me at all. I will place my hands on the sick people, and they will get well. They will get delivered for God's glory. For God's glory. God's glory. For God's glory. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, we're going to do this. Everywhere we go. To obey the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You've just been joined up to the body of Christ. Why am I saying that to you? Because when we work together to pray for one another, God does the healing. Amen?
Amen.
So come on up. It's going to take 2 minutes. Come on quickly. I'm just going to gather because we need to pray for some of the saints that are having a hard time. Because the Lord says, pray for one another that you may be healed. So expect to be healed as we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Say, Lord Jesus. There's some of our brothers and sisters out there that are hurting physically, emotionally, and in all kinds of ways. And some of my family members hurting bad. But it's not too big for God. So I'm praying now with the body of Christ. They will rise.
They will rise.
They will be delivered.
Because
I set them free.
In
the name and blood of Jesus Christ.
Cover their sins right now,
Lord.
We set them free.
Heal and set them free, Lord.
Make them one with you.
And let your angels do a number on them.
Like he's done to me.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Give all the